to the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 5. This will be the 13th message in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And today we progress to the third beatitude, which reads from the lips of our Lord, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In our study of our Lord's teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, we have been in what is known as the Beatitudes, the foundational marks upon which all His following statements and teachings would be based. And these Beatitudes we have tried to establish are blessed attitudes of our mind, the way we think about things, and our character, which have been imparted to men by the regenerating grace of God. These are not characteristics that we receive from our physical birth. These are characteristics which we receive from our spiritual birth. They are a description of the people who are the subjects and who live under the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that is, under the authority of His teachings. They are, if you please, the very birthmarks of God's children. Many of us have birthmarks. It may be a discoloration of some portion of the skin of our body, and that is a mark of our physical birth. These Beatitudes are the birthmarks of God's children, which have experienced the regenerating grace which we have just heard sung about. Now, we've looked at two of them already. In verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I think it important that we briefly just touch upon these in review before we get into "Blessed are the meek." First, this matter of spiritual poverty. We have tried to set forth that spiritual poverty is that deep inner awareness that as I stand before God, I'm lacking in a normal and a natural sufficiency to meet my spiritual needs before God. I'm a spiritual pauper. I have to go to God for my needs. This realization of what I am before God causes my broken human spirit to go out of myself and unto God and ask Him for mercy, which in turn prepares me to be ruled by the teachings of Christ's kingdom. Blessed are the meek, or rather, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then this second beatitude, that of holy mourning, we've tried to establish that this is a godly sorrow over my sin of rebellion against the sovereignty of God's revealed will, which in turn causes me to repent and confess my sin before God. This in turn brings spiritual comfort in the form of a cleansed conscience as the guilt and defilement from my sin is removed, and now I am relieved from the heavy burden of my sin. Now, these two things naturally lay the foundation work for this characteristic of meekness. For no man can be a meek person who is a stranger to spiritual poverty, that is, a brokenness of spirit, and who knows what it is to have to mourn over his sin before God. Spiritual meekness cannot be exhibited without these other two characteristics preceding it. Now we want to look today at this matter of spiritual meekness, the order in which it follows poverty and mourning. And it is a character of life now which can be observed by others. These first two Beatitudes are something which primarily take place in our innermost being, in our prayer closet. I do not go around to others and all the time and boasting and declaring that I am nothing before God. It is a mere inner awareness of this internally within me. And then I do not have to go around to others and forever telling them what a great sinner that I am. That is a consciousness, awareness in my bosom. But now this characteristic is something that can be observed about others, by others, in my life, and that is this matter of meekness. It is something that others can observe. It reveals truly whether our religion is the mere professing of words with our mouth, or whether or not it's truly a way of life for us. I may stand before you today, and I may tell you with tears in my eyes that I'm a spiritual pauper. I'm nothing before God. I may tell you that I sin, and I do. But my friend, that may be just a mouthing of words. I may have learned how to phrase those things so as to impress you as my hearers. But whether or not that you know that these things are true is the way that I react to you in given circumstances and reveal whether or not I am a broken man and a meek man, because that is something that is observed by others. So if we're not careful, we can learn how to express the phrases and say, I'm a spiritual pauper before God, and I mourn and I confess my sins daily. But if this does not manifest itself in the way that we react to the actions of others, then there's a great danger of our religion of being just a form, just words, rather than a genuine reality. Now today we'll again approach this manner of examining the Beatitude first from the negative standpoint and see what this meekness is not. This meekness that our Lord is talking about here first is not an indifferent, easygoing lifestyle like that of a hermit or that of the hippie. It is not that which characterizes a man's life who has withdrawn himself from the affairs and pressures of society and has put himself in a little shack down here in the middle of the woods, and therefore he is a meek man. No, that's not the kind of meekness our Lord's talking about here, which is identified with an indifferent, easygoing, happy-go-lucky lifestyle. Again, this meekness is not merely being nice to others. Now, Christians ought to be nice to other people, but meekness is not just merely being nice. There are some extremely nice people that are not Christians. Niceness does not necessarily flow from the spiritual birth. You can see this in the different types of dogs that are born to a single litter. You may have within that litter of pups a very nice, mild little pup. And then you may have an aggressive, vicious pup that came forth from that same mother. So we're not talking about just merely nice people. I'm grateful to have neighbors and have acquaintances with people that are not Christian people, that are very nice people, though. So our Lord's not talking about just being nice to others when He's referring to blessed are the meek. And then our Lord is not talking about weakness of character. Our Lord is not talking about that character which is weak and it seeks peace at any price and will compromise the truth in order to have peace. Our Lord is not talking about a weak person who has no backbone and will not stand up when he needs to stand. It is not weakness, it is meekness that our Lord is talking about. There are individuals which seek to avoid all disagreements under any circumstances. This is under the pretense of being meek. This is not what our Lord is talking about. This can be illustrated in the life of Jesus Christ Himself. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 11 as we see what kind of man that Jesus was. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, He stands with arms and appeals to the multitudes Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the Lord describes himself as a meek and a lowly man. And this is his own testimony unto his character. And he invites others of like character to come unto him and learn of his teachings, whether they be of God or not. But does this mean then that our Lord was some type of a weak, namby-pamby type of an individual, that whenever there was a controversy about to arise, he would immediately withdraw and stay out of it, lest that it get him all upset and he no longer be able to exhibit his meekness? Remember, our Lord is not talking about weakness. He's talking about meekness. Now, let's illustrate this in the same man who said, I'm meek and lowly. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and let's watch this meek man in action. All right? In the book of John, chapter 2, and verse 13. Here we have the Lord going up to the temple, his Father's house, where that the truth of God was to be identified with. We read in verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the chargers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Now here is not the character of a meek, or rather a weak man. Here is a man who had holy indignation over what was going on in God's house in the name of his Father. And we see this man who says, I'm meek and lowly. We see him getting a scourge and going into that temple and start hitting those individuals, turning over the tables, throwing the money and driving out the sheep and the oxen. And his disciples watch him in amazement, and they cannot figure out until suddenly a scripture comes to their mind. The zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Now, how do we reconcile this? How do we reconcile this meek and lowly man with suddenly becoming very angry? Well, I think it can be seen by turning to John chapter 8 and verse 49. And this is a valuable lesson, so don't lose me on this. This is a valuable lesson because there is a time in which holy anger can rightly be exemplified by a meek man. And there is a time in which anger is wrong. So let us learn this. John chapter 8 and verse 49. We read, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Now notice those words, I honor my Father, and I seek not my own glory. I'm not interested in making a name for myself. I'm not interested in what people think of me per se, but I am interested in what they think of my Father's honor. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now down in verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Jesus said, if I came to seek my own honor and have people think highly of me, I'm nothing. But he says, I have come to honor my Father. So how can we harmonize this meek and lowly man with the anger he displayed at times in his ministry? And I think this is the harmony that comes from this. Whenever Jesus' personal honor and glory was at stake, he reacted to others in a spirit of meekness. But whenever the honor of God's truth was at stake, he reacted in a spirit of holy anger. Now, do you see the difference? That's why I can never exemplify this personally, but I try to the best of my ability that when individuals say things about me personally, that I not seek holy revenge or I not seek to avenge them. And yet I know it must be hard for some of you to understand why your pastor can get so upset and rise up in anger over some of the things that are being taught in the church today. And it's not my honor I'm concerned about. It's the honor of my Father's name and the house and the truth which He represents. And I'll try to the best of God's grace giving me to try to react to you that if it's just a personal matter, to try to be as meek as I can possibly be. But my friend, you may see me turn into a buzzsaw sometimes when individuals start teaching things which deny the honor of God's name and His house. And I hope you'll try to discern the difference, because that's the way Jesus did. He didn't come seeking His own honor, but He came seeking the honor of His Father. And whenever there was something that He felt dishonored His Father, He would stand and with a holy anger denounce that. But whenever it was merely something in His own honor, He would merely walk away and let the multitudes say terrible, untrue things many times about Him. All right, so having seen what this meekness is not, let's now see positively what it is. We'll give you an initial definition of what we believe our Lord is teaching here when He says, "Blessed are the meek." First, meekness then is an attitude of mind which is revealed in how I react to the actions of others. And I say that again, Pastor. Meekness is how I react to the actions of others. It is how others treat me and then how I react in turn to their treatment or their thinking or their opinion and their judgment of me. Now remember, this doesn't come from the natural birth. It comes from the spiritual birth. And my friend, that's why we need more meekness, more grace, because there is yet within all of us this natural man, which would rise up and fail to exemplify the spirit of meekness at given times in our lives. When how many times I've had to go get along with God and say, "God help me, I did not react properly to what that person said or what that person did toward me." Now let's look at some scriptures now which describe what meekness really is. As we've already looked in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, we see that meekness is identified with a lowliness of mind. "Come unto me, all ye that are meek," or rather, "I am meek and lowly." I'm a meek person, a lowly person, Jesus said. The apostle in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians and verses 1 through 3 sets forth the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness." Notice that. Meekness is identified with lowliness. "Not that which seeks the chief seats at all the feast. Not that which says, unless I can be the chief person, I'm just not going to participate. Not that which always is seeking to be the center of the attraction, but that which is ready to fit in and be used in whatever given circumstance that it can be." So, lowliness and humility are associated with meekness. Then, meekness is associated with gentleness. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. "I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." That is, Christ is not only identified as lowliness, but He's identified with gentleness. A gentleman, not a brawler, not one which had his feelings on his shoulder, so to speak, and was always ready to fight at the drop of a feather. But our Lord was a gentle man, a peaceful man. Turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 2. And here we have this exemplified in Paul's writing to this minister. "Put them," verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And the example is Christ, that as Christ was not a brawler, oh, he would stand for his Father's house, but he did not go through the streets of Jerusalem and result in having knocked down, drag out affairs. He was a meek man, a gentle man. And so we are exhorted as Christians to be not be a brawler, but to be a gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And next here we'll see that meekness is associated with quietness. Quietness. Oh, that my children might exemplify more meekness. You hear that, kids? Especially in these after these holiday seasons and being snowed in and out of school for several days. May God increase His grace upon you. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, verse 3. Speaking now of how wives can deal with an unsaved husband. And if the husband will not listen to the Bible, then how is the wife to live in the presence? If she is a Christian, how is she to manifest herself in light to that unsaved husband? So if there should be any like that here today, may God enable you to take this lesson and learn from it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Who's adorning your clothing? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now our emphasis is that found in verse 4. The great thing which is in the sight of God that's very precious, and that's a meek and what? Quiet spirit. That is, not that spirit which all the time seeks to be Lord, but that which has the capacity of living with one another and listening to what other people have to say and making decisions in light of that. That meek and that quiet spirit. And it is said of our Lord, I believe in the book of Isaiah, I cannot remember the exact chapter, maybe chapter 42, that He will be one which shall not cry aloud, nor His voice heard in the streets. If Jesus Christ were your pastor here today, how would He conduct Himself in this community? And that's all that I have to go by, is to try to conduct my own pastorate. But the more I study about Christ, I see Him as a quiet man. I see Him going and talking to a woman at the well. And I see Him talking to a Nicodemus. And I see that wherever He's going, He's having a word in due season. But He's not a brawler. He's not one which walks down the streets and hitting here and here to where that the whole crowd is attracted. Well, mine, look at who's that fella? Jesus was not heard in the streets. He did not come crying aloud, and yet the multitudes followed Him. Why? He possessed that which is in the sight of God of great price, that meek and that quiet spirit. May God give us that. Then we read in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms that meekness is associated with contentment. Psalm chapter 22. Turn back there. And verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Notice, the meek shall eat and they shall be satisfied. How many times have I caught myself doing this? Sitting down at the table and asking God's blessing upon the meal. And then looking up and say, Carolyn, are we having the same thing again? You ever do that? Same old thing. Oh, how guilty we are. That is God's meal He has put before us. The meek shall eat, and they shall be satisfied. And that has far more reference than just physical food. The meek person is a person that whatever his lot that we just sing about, or the choir did, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Paul says, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased, but I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Meekness is a contented spirit, a quiet spirit, a gentle spirit, an humble spirit, a lowly spirit. And then in Psalm chapter 25, we see it is a teachable, flexible spirit. It is not a hardened spirit, which can never be taught anything new. It is a teachable, flexible spirit. In Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9, I believe it is, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Do you want to know the way of God? My friend, he only teaches it unto certain people, that is the meek. The hard-hearted who are set in their own ways will never see God. They will never understand what God is doing in this world and in His creation. It is the meek that He gives judgment and understanding unto, and it is the meek that He teaches His way. Oh, that God might teach us, that He might make us meek, that we may learn. Meekness now observes both tables of God's law. God divided His law into two tables, the first four commandments dealing with our relationship to God, and the last six commandments dealing with our relationship to our fellow man. Meekness reacts to both of these tables. Meekness first reacts Godward, and then it reacts manward to our neighbor. What is our meekness? How do we react to God? The Christian reacts to God with a quiet, silent submission to the will of God. The great example of this is in the life of Job. After that, all the things had occurred in Job's life, and he lost his wealth, he lost his own children due to a tornado or some wind that came and destroyed the building that they were in. And it seemed like that his whole life was picked out from underneath him. How did Job react to this? How would you and I react to it? In Job chapter 1 and verse 20, after all this had hit upon him in a very short matter of time, we read, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now note this, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How did Job react to this? True, Satan was the instrument that brought this upon Job. But Job looked beyond that instrument because he saw God with the perfect ability to prevent Satan from doing that. And so he saw God giving him all these children, and he saw the purpose of God removing it from him. And how did he now react to this most crisis time in his life? With a spirit of meekness, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did not charge God foolishly and sin against him by pining and murmuring against his lot in life. Oh, dear Christian, how we need grace in this area. How long has it been since you've murmured against your condition in life? Oh, God, why did this have to happen to me? Is that not much of what characterizes our daily lives? Then does it not show a great need of more grace to be able to exemplify the meekness of how we react to God's providence in that which we do not understand? This meekness not only reacts to God with a meek and quiet and gentle spirit, but it reacts to man, to our neighbor. It does not seek to react in a wrong way when people treat us in a wrong fashion. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 17. We see here that this spirit of meekness does not seek revenge. It does not seek out that when someone wrongs us, that we cannot rest until we have got even with them. Romans, chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now note, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you see how the apostles took these beatitudes that our Lord taught, and now they're teaching them to their people? And that's which I am instructed as a gospel minister to instruct my people also in. That when we are wronged, and dearly beloved, we're going to be wronged daily in our lives. And when people wrong us, rather than carrying that in our bosom and our minds, and we just crucify that person, maybe not with a knife physically, but we put them on a cross and we strip them naked and we mutilate them in our minds of trying to think how we can get even with them. And we may never do anything at all physically to them. But what does that do to us? It robs us of our peace and joy with God. And so the apostle says, don't repay evil for evil. Repay evil with good. And in so doing, you're going to heap coals of fire on their head, for God then will deal with them the way he dealt with those that put his son on the cross. That was a good act for what an evil thing was done to Jesus. And God will seek revenge. God will put things right in their own due time. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, what application can we make of this in the closing of the message this morning? We've laid somewhat of a brief doctrinal foundation that meekness is the way I react to the actions of others. Now, what application can we make? And I'd like to make it in this specific pointed area to those that might be here without the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't know Him. You're not a Christian. And I'd like to explain to you that Jesus offers salvation from sin unto those who are meek. That is the ones that our Lord preaches the gospel unto. Note with me, you don't have to turn there. Let me turn back there to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 1. Our Lord came preaching a gospel, but not everyone heard Him. Is that not true? Does everyone hear Jesus today and willingly embrace what He says? No, they do not. Why do they not receive this message? Listen to whom Jesus preaches the gospel unto. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The gospel is only good news unto the meek person. And only the meek will react to the verdict of God. That proud, haughty, self-righteous, self-sufficient spirit which has hope in its own ability to stand before God will never see gospel in the message of Christ. And you may be here today and you've heard the gospel and you've turned that down and you've said, I don't see any good news in that. My friend, there isn't. The gospel is only for meek people. It is for those who have been broken by God's law and have had their mouths shut, and they see themselves as a guilty sinner, helpless as they stand in God's law court. And when they see that and they react to God's holy law and they say, Lord, You're right, I am a sinner, then they cease to stand in their righteousness. And Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners to repentance. And when the God's law has broken the sinner and they now become guilty before God and God says, come unto me, there is a reaction of meekness, and it says, oh yes, here I come, here I come. And the reason why you haven't come today is because of that haughty, self-proud spirit that will not acknowledge your sinfulness before God. That's the only thing that keeps you away from Christ today. That's the only thing that keeps you out of eternal life today, is you will not come to me that you might have life. That's the reason. And the gospel that I preach is not gospel to you because you're not meek and you will not bow to the message that Christ proclaims. So salvation is for the meek. Now, who are the meek? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 149. And we see that when no one will come to God because of their proud heart, then God says, my son is not going to be frustrated and discouraged. I'm going to choose a people and make them meek, and they will come. And I'm going to call them my people. Psalm chapter 149 and verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. Note that. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now here the Scripture clearly says God has a people. Now who are these people? He says they're the meek people. And I'm going to beautify, I'm going to clothe them with salvation. My people are meek people. And these are the people that I'm going to save and bring them unto myself. This is called in the Bible the doctrine of election. And meekness is an example or a revelation of our election of God. Go with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and beginning, chapter 3 and verse 12. This will be our closing scripture. Stay with me on this now. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen of God, God's people, clothe yourselves holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now notice the Old Testament, God says, I have a people. Here's how you can know my people. They're meek. The New Testament says, I have an elect people. Here's how you can know you're one of them. Put on meekness. Put it on. Clothe yourself. You can't do it of your own nature, but you can through the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. So, sinner, if you're here today and you're troubled about this matter, oh, that I might have salvation. Is there any hope, Pastor, for me that if I go into the grave that I can have an assurance I'll be received of God? Yes, there is. I have good news for meek people. It is come unto Jesus Christ, and you shall find mercy. For He offers salvation for whosoever will who comes. And when you come, you will find that mercy. Because you, by your coming, will lay down your rebellion and take upon the spirit of meekness. Will you come to Him today? Salvation and good news and the gospel is preached unto the meek. Are you one of those? Lay down your rebellion. Come unto Christ and submit to His kingdom today. For Jesus' sake, would you do it? Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the grace of Your Son that has taken the lion-like nature which we have been given by our fleshly birth and has tamed it unto that of like the lamb. And Father, we acknowledge before You today that it is Your grace which has wrought us this in us. But we also know, Heavenly Father, in our yet within our bosom, there are elements of that old lion that would rise up and roar from time to time. And so we come before You at the close of this service as believers, asking for more grace to subdue us and make us like that little lamb, that we can lie with our fellow man and commune with them and have fellowship with them, not desiring to destroy them or devour them, but having a nature that enables us to get along with each other. And Heavenly Father, if there be a soul here today that's troubled about their sin and knows they're outside of the kingdom of Christ, God, might Thy Spirit work in their subconscious and break that proud heart make that human spirit laid low to where that as that gospel is offered unto them, that they will come unto Christ in a meek and mild manner and learn of Him today. In Jesus' name we pray and for His glory. Amen.